Today, as we celebrate Easter, we remember that the resurrection wasn't just a one-time event, that Jesus boldly proclaimed that he is the resurrection and the life, and that anybody who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And today, as we remember that first Easter, we remember that the power of the resurrection continues. And we see that in the life of Lazarus, one of Jesus' friends who died and was raised from the dead. And we can take hope in the fact that Christ is still at work today in our lives and that we see new life everywhere we look. So I'd invite you to listen with me to the reading of John 10. And it's a lengthy passage, and we're going to listen to it from a reading from Bible Gateway, a great narration of this text. The beginning of the text is in your bulletin, but the full scripture will be on the screen. So hear God's word for us today from John 11.
Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied, "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews, who had been with Mary in the house comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go."
It always surprises me every time I hear this story that Jesus chose to wait 2 full days before going and helping his friend. And I understand why Martha and Mary were frustrated with him. Of course, by the time that Jesus arrives in the town where Lazarus is, he is already dead, and his family is beside themselves with grief. He had been buried for 4 long days, far past the chance of any miracle taking place. The hope that he might recover from his illness was gone. There was no chance of him recovering from a coma and miraculously walking out of the tomb. 4 days was even past the day when God was likely to have intervened, since in the Bible, the 3rd day was when God often came and worked a miracle. No, Lazarus was good and dead by the time that Jesus arrived, and there was nothing anybody could do to save him. His sister Martha confronted Jesus when he arrived. He said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." She believed that Jesus had the power to heal him, and she had wanted him to come. "How could you forsake us?" Jesus reassures her and says, "Your brother will rise again," but Martha misunderstands. She says, "I know that he'll rise again, the resurrection on the last day." She has some faith still, some hope. But Jesus corrects her, saying that, "I am the resurrection and the life, that whoever believes in me will live, even if they die." And so he asks, "Martha, do you believe this?" Martha musters all of her strength and confesses a beautiful prayer. And she says, "Yes, Lord, you are the Messiah and the Son of God. What you say is true." And it's interesting how in this time of grief, she goes back and forth between doubt and faith and back to doubt again. So common to our own journeys when we struggle with the pain of this world. And yet Jesus met Martha and Mary in their grief, even knowing how the story would turn out. He had compassion on their suffering. He was moved by their tears, and he wept himself at the death of his friend. His love for Lazarus and the women was undeniable, and those gathered there saw his compassion. And yet some used it as an opportunity to criticize and to mock Jesus, saying, "You're the one who opened the eyes of a blind man. Couldn't you at least have saved your friend from dying?" Challenging him and mocking him for his apparent failure. And yet Jesus was still deeply moved by the suffering of his friends, and he missed Lazarus and knew that God had more in store for him still. And so he went to the tomb, and upon arriving there, he commanded that the stone be rolled away, and he cried out, "Lazarus, come out." And to the dismay of all those gathered there, Lazarus, the one they had seen die, who they had wrapped in burial clothes, who they had placed in the tomb, came walking out alive right before their very eyes. And the Bible tells us that many who saw this great miracle believed and were never the same again because they witnessed the power of the resurrection with their own 2 eyes. Jesus bringing Lazarus back to life. displaying the great power that God has over death. It's tempting to think that if only we could witness such a great miracle, that we too would have faith that nothing ever again would cause us to doubt. And yet we too can see the power of the resurrection right before our very eyes. Because the resurrection wasn't a one-time event. Jesus didn't say that he was the resurrection and the life, and that was it. But he tells us that he is the resurrection and the life, and that he can do for us spiritually what he did for Lazarus physically, that he can make us come alive. And we indeed see signs of this new life all around us. We see it in the sounds of children laughing here on Sunday mornings and on Wednesday evenings at prime time. We see signs of new life as friends gather to study God's word, to encourage and to support each other during the ups and downs of life. We see signs of new life as our town rallies together around our new emergency shelter, giving so generously to support the least, the last, and the lost in our community. I don't know if you saw it or not, but we made the front page of the Blackstone Valley Express again this week, showing how much our community cares and how powerful the resurrection really can be. The signs of life are undeniable when we look at the world around us, and it's amazing to witness life firsthand, to see broken hearts being put back together, old buildings finding new uses, God's people being filled with new hope and new purpose. Yes, the power of the resurrection is alive and well, and we see it all around us. But I wonder if we see it in our own lives as well. It might be easy to see signs of life in other people's lives, or in our church, or in our families, but it's not always as easy to see that transformation happening within us. As good, faithful Christians, we trust that God will save us. But we're a little more reluctant to believe that he will transform us as well. We might confess that Christ's death has been given for us to forgive our sins and that one day we too will rise. That is, of course, what Martha was professing when she believed that her brother would rise again. But it's much harder to believe that because of Christ's love in our lives, that we can be set free from those sins and those struggles right here and right now. Yet that's the promise of Easter morning. Not only that one day we will be given new life in Christ, but that today we can experience that new life in him. Martha boldly proclaimed that her brother would rise again, but Jesus tells us that he is rising now. And that we, too, can experience the resurrection in our lives, to be transformed by God's love, to be made a new creation. That means not only are we forgiven for our sins, for our struggles with drinking too much, or our sexual addiction, or our prideful attitudes, but that God can free us from these things as well. That we no longer have to be held captive by our pride or our greed, but that God can help us overcome those parts of ourselves that we despise the most. That God has the power to do what we cannot, to transform us and make us new, to bring life where there once only was death. And today, as we celebrate not only Christ's death, that he saved us from our sins, but the resurrection as well, that he brings us to life right here and right now. It's far too easy to cut that story short, to give thanks for the work that Jesus did on the cross, but never quite make it to the empty tomb where we see the resurrection in action. But that is what we are called to do, to remember that day after day, God invites us to be made new. I love the King James Version of this text and how they translate a particular line. We find that Jesus arrives at the empty tomb and he has this great miracle planned, and he tells the people to roll the stone away so that Lazarus can come back to life. And there's instant protest from the crowd because Lazarus has already been dead for 4 long days, and they knew that his body would not be pretty sitting in the sun for that long. Martha blurts out what everybody is thinking, "But Lord, he stinketh." I love that line, that he stinketh. And so do we. That's the good news of this miracle, that even though we stinketh, that God can make us new, that we are all Lazarus, that we've all been wrapped up in grave clothes and laid in the tomb, that we're smelly and rotten and decaying. We're dead in the truest sense. If I've learned nothing over these last 7 weeks going through the 7 deadly sins, is that I stinketh and I am in need of a Savior. Somebody not only to save me from my sins and guarantee my place in heaven, but to meet me where I am, right here today, and to bring life into the painful and frightening and sometimes sinful parts of my life, to help me come alive again. That's what Christ offers us, and that's what we celebrate on Easter morning, new life and new hope in Jesus. If you are in need of a resurrection, a clean slate, a complete transformation in your life, I invite you to join us over the next few weeks as we're going to be talking about the I Am statements of Jesus, learning about who Jesus says he is, what that means for our lives, how we can be transformed by his love. Raising Lazarus from the dead wasn't just a miracle that Jesus performed some 2,000 years ago, but it's a miracle that he keeps on performing every day in our lives. And I, for one, am grateful that Christ calls us out of the tomb. So I don't know about you, but I stinketh. Let us pray. God, what a great gift it is that you love and care for us so much, that you sent your Son to live and die and rise again on our behalf. Thank you that you make us new, just like you made Lazarus new, and that those painful and broken parts in our lives can be healed, can be touched by your incredible grace. God, help us never to lose sight of what you have done for us, to chase after you and to come out of the tomb when you call to us, God, because you have so much life planned for us. In your name we pray. Amen.